Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program, for we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we may say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me by email directly. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. Typical of man evolutionist is this statement, made from The Meaning of Evolution by G.G. Simpson, and I quote, "Man is the result of a purposeless and materialistic process that did not have him in mind," end of quote. In fact, a more recent statement by the famed evolutionist Julian Huxley expresses pretty much the same sentiment, and I quote, "Darwinism removed the whole idea of God as the creator of organisms from the sphere of rational thought. Darwin pointed out that no supernatural designer was needed, since natural selection could account for any known form of life. There was no room for a supernatural agency in its evolution." End of quote. In fact, on the cover of Gamaliel Bradford's work called Darwin is the statement, and I quote, "The life of a gentle, tolerant, and lovable man who overturned the world of thought, shifted the whole attitude of science, and upheaved the very foundation of religion and morality," end of quote. And again, he makes this statement, and I quote, "He made hell a laughingstock and heaven a dream," end of quote. You know, such statements reveal the true nature of modern evolutionary thinking. Laying at the very root of all evolutionary ideals is a basic anti-creation, anti-God attitude. It's primarily a materialistic philosophy with nothing to offer but doubt and despair. Most evolutionists have an automatic barrier that reacts at the very mention of the alternative to their theory, and that is namely creation. You know that the theory of evolution is a negative and an unproductive philosophy, I think, is shown by the following. Evolution is unbeneficial to science. W.O. Davis writes, and I quote, "If anything good has come out of evolution theory, it is certainly difficult to detect it. And it is a self-evident truth accepted by all thinking people that a tree is known by its fruits," end of quote. Dr. W.R. Thompson states, and I quote, "I'm not satisfied that Darwin proved his point or that his influence in scientific and public thinking has been beneficial," end of quote. Thompson also adds, and I quote, "The success of Darwinism was accomplished by a decline in scientific integrity," end of quote. But you know, the supporters of evolution often do not square with the facts. The theory, therefore, becomes sort of a biased doctrine. In modern scientific circles, it's become fashionable for evolutionists to say of other people, why, you're not looking at both sides of the issue. Well, now this may sound impressive to those that are unaware, but when the truth is known, it's the evolutionist who fails to look at both sides of the issue. When only favorable information is presented, and when detrimental information is suppressed, or for that matter, neglected, obviously the scientific process is being thrown away. It's being cast aside. Evolution, of course, is not a fact. It has not been proved. And let me say that again. Evolution is not a fact. It has not been proved. Even Darwin admitted that it was unproved, and he even admitted that it was unprovable. But listen again to the 20th century's leading exponent of evolution, and that would be Julian Huxley, and I quote, "Whether or not we like it, Darwin's theory is confirmed. Thanks to Darwin, we accept evolution as a fact," end of quote. But you know, evolution, to a large degree, grew out of atheism and has a tendency to promote atheism. Evolutionists make a fetish out of what they call academic freedom. To them, it means the license to teach anything that they want to teach, even to the advocacy of those things which undermine the basic foundations of society. You know, this is the trend among many evolutionists, to teach what you wish, regardless of the consequences. Atheism, by the way, of deceptive evolution is one of the many things that's being subtly advocated. In a pamphlet that was entitled Evolution Implies Atheism, published by the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism, whose president is Woolsey Teller, here's what he said, and I quote, "The God idea cannot be reconciled with our knowledge of evolution," end of quote. So see, evolution stands in direct opposition to belief in God, and this is admitted by all leading evolutionists. Real supporters of the theory are quite clear, they're quite adamant when discussing this, that they realize that there can be no reconciling between the two, that is, between the theory of evolution and God. Or, let's state it another way, there can be no reconciling between the theory of evolution and creation as revealed in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And then the doctrine of evolution creates an atmosphere tending toward immorality. You know, when young people are led to believe that they are only the result of an evolutionary process, they're nothing more than advanced creatures possessing no soul, and that there's no God to whom that they will one day give an account, what can be expected of their moral outlook? Some youths have said, you know, if we're no different than dogs or cats, why should we believe in moral rules? Well, I got a legitimate question there. If it is true what evolutionists want us to believe concerning our origin. But evolution has been instrumental in producing corrupt systems of society. Communism, that's based upon atheism, and it breeds in an atmosphere of atheism. You know, there are a few people, I feel, that are aware that Karl Marx, who was the designer of communist philosophy, drew heavily on Darwin's concept of natural selection and the survival of the fittest. Atheistic immatologist Jeffrey Taylor made this statement, quote, "Darwin's Origin of the Species and Marx's Das Kapital heralded the two grand secular faiths of our modern times, evolution and communism. End of quote. Let me say at once that both these faiths are wrong, that each enshrines not truth, but warped illusions. They're connected, they're intertwined, and Mark requested that his book be dedicated to Darwin. So truly, let's get our eyes open concerning what our children, what our grandchildren are being taught. What we're seeing coming through the media, on television, in the movies, and in music, and in documentaries, all of these things are the avenues by which evolution is teaching and spreading their agenda. One of the reasons, and I'm not saying it's the only, but one of the many reasons that our morals are so declining in our day and time in this country has to be attributed to this theory that's being pushed upon us. It's being literally crammed down our throats. But truly, we need to understand it and see it for what it is. In the time that I have remaining on the program this morning, I want to direct your attention to Genesis chapter 1. And I want us to just simply begin reading for what period of time we have left and put back in our minds a thing that may somehow get displaced or get forgotten. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it be divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters that were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding seed after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let the lights of the firmament of heaven be divided the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and he set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowls that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowls multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you tune in tomorrow. Under them, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.